You remember hearing about Kyle McDonald? Kyle McDonald became one of those folks who are famous for 5 minutes because he had this bright idea. Didn't have much of a chance of making it happen, but he had a bright idea. He decided that he was tired of being stuck in his dead-end job, always being strapped for money, so he came up with a plan, starting with one red paperclip. He would trade on the internet until he exchanged it for a house. Here's how he did it. First, he traded the red paperclip for a fish-shaped pen. Next, he traded the pen for a doorknob. He traded the doorknob for a Coleman stove. He traded the Coleman stove for an electric generator. He traded the electric generator for a Budweiser sign and keg of beer. McDonald wasn't Baptist. He then traded that Budweiser sign and a keg of beer for a snowmobile. And exactly 1 year and 14 trades later, McDonald finally reached his goal and he exchanged part of a Hollywood movie for a home in Saskatchewan, Canada. From a little red paperclip to a house. Of course, the house was just in Canada, but still it was a house. Isn't it great? Isn't it fun to see the stories where we start so small and wind up with something so great? That is a picture, if you will, of the kingdom of Christ. As you know, Jesus reached a point where he was tired of the Pharisees creating impossible situations and making things difficult and lying about him and saying that his miracles were done by the power of Satan, and they were becoming obstacles to the kingdom. And he reached a point where he said, okay, from now on, those of you who don't want to hear the truth anyway, you won't be able to understand the mysteries of the kingdom, because from now on, I'm only going to speak of the kingdom in parables, so that his disciples and those who had ears to hear, those who wanted to understand more, would be able to understand the point of the story, and those who really didn't care about the truth wouldn't get it. And we started some time ago looking at a series of those parables that Jesus told once he made that turn in his teaching ministry. Today we come to the last lesson of those parables. Most of the time throughout this series, we've been in Matthew chapter 13, and I want us to return there again this morning. I want us to return to Matthew 13, as we'll see the final lesson on the parables in which Jesus described the kingdom. So if you have your copy of Scripture, let's look there, Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to start at verse 31 as we think together about the seed, the leaven, and the kingdom. Matthew 13, starting at 31, let's think together about the seed, the leaven, and the kingdom. All right? Here we go. He presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all other seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants, and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." He spoke another parable to them. "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of meal until it was all leavened. The seed, the leaven, and the kingdom. Let's start by thinking together about that seed. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Now, when he said that, they were much more familiar with what he was talking about than most of us probably are. When he said that, that caught their attention. I mean, it's not too far from thinking about being able to buy a house with a little red paper clip. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. And then he goes on and he tells them what many of them already know, but by doing so, he makes his point more clearly. It's like that mustard seed in this way. A man can take that little smallest seed and he can bury it, he can sow it, if you will. And this is smaller than any other seed, but when it's full grown, it's larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree. Now, tree people who know these things will tell you that the mustard plant is not truly a tree. And because of that, some folks get really hung up on this. Oh, Jesus made a mistake. Jesus. No. This is what you call hyperbole. He's making a point, not a mistake. He says that smallest little seed grows into the biggest bush in the garden. I mean, compared to the other things, it's like a tree. This smallest seed that is possible eventually becomes a plant large enough that birds can land on it and hang out there all afternoon if they want to. Let me show you a little video that helped me get an idea of exactly what we're talking about with the mustard seed. Watch this. See how small that was? Just like the head of a pin, maybe. And how amazing it is that you could take that very small seed. I mean, and picture this if you tried to explain it to someone who'd never seen it or never heard of it. Picture this. You're going to tell them, you're going to take this little speck, this little black speck, the size of the head of a pin, and if you'll put it under the ground, if you'll put it in the dirt and wait a while, when you come back, there'll be a great big plant. It's crazy. And Jesus says, that's the way the kingdom's going to work, fellas. You see, his disciples had pictured when the kingdom was ushered in that there would be this massive takeover of Rome. They pictured this great Messiah military leader who would come in and gather all the people together, and the kingdom would take over, and they would just, it used to explode. And Jesus says, actually, we're going to start off like a little seed. We're going to start off a little differently than the disciples probably anticipated. And then Jesus tells another story. He did this so often and he did it so well, where he would tell two stories, sometimes three stories, back to back so that they paralleled, so that if you missed the point in the first one or you weren't quite clear when you heard the second one, then it honed it in for you and then you could make sure you got the point. And that's what he does in the next story. This time, instead of talking about a man, he talks about a woman. And the woman takes just a little bit of leaven. See that in 33? The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three pecks of meal until it was all leavened. You know, if you if you're going to bake bread at home, you know, last time I baked homemade bread, I understand there's some water, there's some flour, there's some salt, and then you get that little yellow packet. Right? Is it Fleshman's? Yeah. You get that little yellow packet. And in that little yellow packet is that magic dust. That magic dust that when you mix it in with all that other stuff and you put it in the oven for a little while, it makes all that stuff kind of grow. That yeast. Jesus had seen his mama make bread many times. In his culture in that day, they probably would have made bread almost every single day. But they didn't have those little yellow packets with magic powder in them. Instead, when a young lady got married, on her wedding day, Mama would give her just a little lump of dough that had been leavened. The next day, she would take that little lump of dough, she would make her own dough and put that one inside it and mix it all together. And that leaven would permeate throughout the dough and it would make the whole loaf grow. And before she baked it, she would take a little bit of that leavened dough and set it aside for the next day. And then the next day when it's time to make it, she gets that little piece and she puts it in the big loaf and she bakes it. And then someday that lady hands off a little piece of that leavened dough, a little piece, she hands it off to her daughter and it gets passed down generation to generation. So nobody gets started without a little leaven. So that you can always bake bread. That yeast, that leaven, when you put it inside that dough, it begins to metabolize the sugars in the dough. And it forms carbon dioxide. And it puffs into tiny little gas pockets throughout the dough. And that gas can't escape because of the elastic gluten in the flour. And so these pockets of gas stay in the loaf, and when you put that loaf in the oven, then the gas expands as it heats up even more as the temperature rises until that dough finally bakes, holding the shape of those tiny little gas pockets now filled with air. It's an amazing thing. Matter of fact, that great philosopher and theologian, Lucille Ball, painted for us a picture of how this works. Do you remember the episode? It was actually all the way back in the first season. I think it was episode number 18, something like that. She decided that she was going to be a pioneer woman. Actually, she got into a bad bet. You know, she and Ethel bet Ricky and what's it? I'm kind of ashamed y'all know that so easy. So they bet, the ladies bet the men that they could get by without any modern conveniences, and the men took them up on it, and so they all four agreed that they would not use anything that had been invented after 1900, which meant that Lucy couldn't go buy a loaf of bread. She had to bake the bread herself. And so she got the recipe, and it said to put three, I don't remember, but three measurements of yeast. She misread it and put 13. Do you remember what happened? Let me remind you.
Open the oven.
Oh, open the oven.
There. Come on now, yeah. Look out. There. Now, let's see, the oven's all preheated, like it says. And in a couple of hours, we'll have some nice homemade bread. Hey, you smell bread? Maybe it's done. How's this oven door get open?
Can make a great big difference. A little leaven fills the whole loaf. Jesus understood the power of that little bit and how it could permeate the entire loaf. He said, that's the way of the kingdom. Stop thinking that we're going to snap our fingers and the kingdom of God is going to appear and take over the bad guys and rule the world. He said, instead, the way it's going to happen is we're going to start small. We're going to start slow. And it's going to build and it's going to grow. That was the point of describing the kingdom as leaven. There is a very common misunderstanding about leaven in Scripture. That very common misunderstanding says that leaven always represents sin or evil in Scripture. And while it often represents the influence of sin and evil, it clearly does not always represent sin, because here he says it represents the kingdom of God. Also in the Old Testament, in Leviticus 23 and 17... part of the law says there is a time to present to God an offering of leavened bread. Why would he put in his law to give me something that represents sin? See, leaven doesn't represent sin itself. It represents how one small thing can turn into something big. And you've seen sin do that, haven't you? How one small sin can affect an entire family, an entire church, or an entire community. The idea of leaven is that one small thing can influence a great deal. The kingdom of God is like that. It starts off as one small power and it reaches. It expands. It covers the globe and all eternity. The amazing thing is that it began with 12. One might even argue that it actually began with 3. Peter, James, and John. You see, that's the way God works in His kingdom. In the kingdom, God moves one person to another. Look at Scripture and see how God works. When God created humanity, have you ever wondered this? I've thought about it 100 times. When God created humanity, Why did he not create at least 1,000 Adams? And then 1,000 Eves? I mean, give us a good head start here. In his infinite wisdom, he knew that life is about relationship. And he begins with one man and one woman. And from that relationship, there is life. And that life and another life form a relationship. And from that relationship, there is life. See, that was the plan from the very beginning. Well, and then when God decided to create a new nation that he could call his own, he didn't start with a powerful clan. He didn't start with this great big group. He chose one man and one woman, Abraham and Sarah. He said, guys, you're it. Let's get started. When God was ready to lead his people out of slavery in Egypt, he didn't choose and ordain and establish a great army. He chose one man. One man who was a rejected leader, who had spent most of his life leading sheep in the desert, working for his father-in-law. That's how God works. When God wanted a king to represent his people, he chose a little shepherd boy named David. When God came to earth as a human, he came as a baby born in a barn to a poor family. When God chose men to start his church, not a one of them was wealthy, famous, or from royalty. Instead, he chose common fishermen, laborers, even a despised tax collector. See, God begins small in order that we can see and experience and be a part of the growth. Instead of snapping his fingers and establishing a kingdom, he says, my kingdom's about love, so we're going to do it through love, and love takes time. Relationship. How does the kingdom grow? It grows because God has chosen to use us to spread his good news and welcome people into his kingdom through relationship. John Gibson Patton was a remarkable Scottish missionary to the New Hebrides Islands in South Pacific. The people on those islands were cannibals when he first arrived. His first wife and child died shortly after he got there. He had to sleep on their grave for days to ensure that the islanders didn't dig them up and eat them. His life was in constant danger. Patton eventually remarried. He returned to the New Hebrides Islands in 1866. He and his new wife labored diligently to seek the kingdom of God established in that region. He endured many years of deprivation, of danger from natives and disease. But they continued their work, and after many years of patient ministry, the entire island of Aniwa professed faith in Christ. In 1899, he saw his Aniwa New Testament printed and the establishment of missionaries on 25 of those 30 islands in the New Hebrides. You see, it begins in relationship and moves and grows, just like the little leaven leavens the whole loaf over time, and the loaf begins to grow from something small, just like that little bitty speck is planted in the ground. It grows over time and becomes the great tree or the great bush. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a powerful force. Persecution cannot stop it. Discouragement cannot stop it. Language barriers and culture barriers cannot stop it. Because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, his kingdom is growing and will continue to grow for His glory. Did you realize that in the world today, there's on average, there's over 500 new churches started every day worldwide? And the only places in the world where Christianity is not growing, the only places in the world where Christianity is not growing, the Middle East where it started, Great Britain and the United States of America, where we established our nations based on the principles of that very gospel. The rest of the world is seeing tremendous growth as the kingdom is growing before our very eyes. And one of these days, when we cross that final river, one of these days, when that last trumpet sounds, one of these days, He's going to gather all of us together. Some of us are going to speak a different language than the other folks who are gathered. We're going to have different skin colors. We're going to have different perspectives on life. We're going to have different traditions and cultures. Who knows, we may even vote differently. But one of these days, He's going to bring all of us who are true believers together. And He's going to allow us the opportunity to finally see Him face to face. Scripture says, for now, we walk by faith, not by sight. Imagine what it'll be like when we get to walk by sight. Get to see Him. There's a day coming. I don't think it's too far off. But there's a day coming described by John in Revelation 7. After this I looked, and there was before me a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. A great multitude that no one could count started 3 fishermen. Jesus said, follow me, and they did. And from that moment, the kingdom's been growing. And one of these days, it's going to be so grand that we can't even count all of the believers at the throne. From little things come great things when God is in it. So let me ask you 2 questions and we're done. When we get there, when we all get to heaven, when we all stand around that throne, will you be in that multitude? Will you be there with us? The second question, if you answered yes to the first question, if you're going to be in that great multitude one of these days at the throne of the Lamb, who are you taking with you? Because remember, that's how the kingdom spreads. Relationship, one-to-one. Who are you taking with you? Father, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for the promise of kingdom growth for Your glory. Thank You for allowing us to be a part of Your kingdom. Father, thank You for the blessing of seeing it grow. Help us to do our part. Help us to play our role in the growth of the kingdom. To see those around us who need to be a part of it, to care enough to invite them in. Father, I also pray that You'd help each one of us to make sure that You are our King and that we've recognized You as such. Help us today to make sure that each one of us is right with You and that we are a part of Your kingdom because we've asked to be forgiven and we've trusted in you personally. And if there is one who has not yet reached that point in their journey, I pray, Lord, you'd bring them there even during this hour, in Jesus' name.